Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Right back at it on The Fan in New York inside the 11 p.m. hour, August 25th. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We're going to start with the baseball, but then we're going to get into the football at some point because trades are happening, signings are happening, and the NFL is happening soon. Like, I don't think we realize your fantasy leagues, you got to have your draft date set. You got to be reading up on who to pick, when to pick in those late rounds. Another glorious NFL season is upon us, but let's not quit on the baseball season. I'm too old to be throwing away baseball seasons. Now, I might not believe in my team. I might not believe in your team. I don't believe in most of these teams, but it doesn't matter what I believe in. Anything can happen in baseball. Anything can happen, specifically in Major League Baseball, where there are injuries, there are down performances, there are guys that play up, especially when you get to October. Anything goes. And that's how they kind of want it. And, you know, right now I think we got to focus on just getting into the dance. Sure, it's disappointing to be in first place with a 5-game lead, 5.5-game lead, or a 7, 7.5-game lead early in the season. But the season doesn't end early. Just as people are talking about, oh, well, if the season ended today, both these teams are in the postseason. The season doesn't end today. And just getting into the postseason isn't good enough for fans that expect more of these teams. We expect championship caliber baseball out of these teams. It costs a lot of money to go to the stadium, and it costs a lot of money to put these teams together. They should be competing at a higher level. You know, they've let us down. The Mets, I feel like, coming off the weekend, even though they took the series, that was a letdown yesterday. I was sitting right in here watching it, doing the show. And the Yankees, I mean, forget about it. I went home to watch Sunday Night Baseball, and of course, they bludgeon dust in May. And they win one, sure, like, you know, salvage a victory and have a little bit of pride. But, bro, pride, the vibes were completely down, completely deteriorated over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I heard some crazy takes from Yankee fans on this team. Just looking at the phone right now, I haven't even said the name of the young Yankee shortstop that it got, like, you guys can't wait to talk about VOLPE. I haven't even gotten there yet. I'm trying to give the Mets their just due. I'm trying to give the Mets bullpen their just due. They've been struggling. Tonight, they were nails. It helps when every inning, the Mets tack on runs. 3 in the 4th, 1 in the 5th, 2 in the 6th, 4 in the 7th, 3 in the 8th. Different. That's different. Carlos Mendoza after the game. Let's see, Alex. Queued up a couple Carlos Mendoza tweets that just came out of the Mets post game. And, you know, Steady Mendy was talking about, you know, the team fighting back, right? As I just was talking about how, hey, they've been knocked down. I think there was a stat over the weekend about them losing like 58 games where they didn't score in the 8th run or later, something crazy like that, where I'm like, yeah, on brand. That's exactly what they have done. That's exactly what they have been. Something changed tonight. So here's Mets manager Carlos Mendoza talking about the Mets erasing an early 3-0 deficit against the Phillies, coming back and not taking their foot off the gas.
Work to do to catch up to them. You were down 3-0. bases empty, two outs. What does it say to get back into the game like you guys did?
Yeah, it was good to see the guys get back on, like you said. You know, Senga's kind of battling his way out there. We get down 3-0. We're facing, you know, their best guy now, a pretty tough lefty. He's getting ground balls, and when he's at his best, that's what he does. You know, he keeps the ball down. He's using all of his pitches, the sinker, the changeup, and he kept getting ground balls. But for us to be able to put a rally and get back in the game that early and drove his pitch count up, it was good to see the guys fight back. And, you know, we've been having a hard time kind of when we lose the lead, fighting back and taking it back. So to do it against a pretty good pitcher is a good sign.
Hey, you take the win, you enjoy the night, and you look ahead. And when you look ahead to tomorrow, you want to take the series. And when you look ahead to only having 1-2 and then another 4, 6 games left against the Phillies, okay, maybe the division is out of reach, but handle business against the Phillies and let the chips fall where they may. Maybe Philadelphia stumbles. Maybe if you smack Philly here, they get in their heads and they don't continue hitting, pitching, winning games. Anything can happen. That's where we're at right now. I expect this Mets team to make the postseason. I've been very vocal about if they don't make the postseason, that's a disaster. If they don't make the postseason, that's a huge disappointment. You don't spend all this money. You don't call your fans out to come to the ballpark. You don't do all these things to enhance the experience at your ballpark to not have postseason baseball, to not try to get back to where you were last year in the postseason. And we shall see. 888-808-1019. You know, big shout out to the Make It Happen Mets that showed up and not the Let It Happen Mets that have literally let so many teams, whether it's the Nationals, whether it's the Braves, teams that are beneath them, you know, just smack them late in games, come back and rally. And tonight the Mets were able to fight back and rally. Here's another one from Carlos Mendoza, a box that has been checked off, right? Because how long did we hear the Mets are terrible with runners in scoring position, right? The Mets get runners on and they strand them. No, not tonight. And I did hear something that Mark Vientos said after the game about the conversations that they are having between at-bats. I remember that used to be a thing with Marte and Lindor when they were batting next to each other. But that should just be a thing in baseball. Hey, what'd you see? Get back to the dugout. What's this guy throwing? What, you know, what's it looking like out there? What did you see? What did he pitch to you? How did he? So here is Mendoza talking about, you know, just the change tonight in getting results with runners in scoring position.
Well, we're getting a lot better results with runners in scoring position. You know, I think that's been the biggest key. We create traffic, and it's not a secret. I've been sitting here answering questions about, you know, struggles with runners in scoring position, but I feel like, I don't know, for quite a bit now, we've done a really good job of, especially two outs, you know, getting two out hits, going the other way. We saw it with Jeff. We saw it with Louis. Just a lot of people up and down the lineup, a lot of people just having good at-bats. But overall, I think just with runners in scoring position, we're doing a better job.
And last but not least, this whole thing with the speaker, the sound equipment, the parabolic dish, the satellite, whatever the hell they're calling it. I know there's so many Met fans online that want to make the next Grimace, the next OMG, the next playoff pumpkin, the next whatever to rally around. I'm already seeing so many different jokes and memes and Photoshop things with this thing. It was so odd. I was listening to the game, and then when they stopped the game, I stopped and I came back. I'm like, they're still not playing because of this thing? A long delay. So, yeah, last cut from the post game. Here's Mendy talking about, you know, the Phillies complaining. And that, I think, just makes it even sweeter that the Phillies, you know, pointed something out like that, stopped the game, and it didn't help them much.
Yeah, I think it's one of the speakers there, and I don't know if somebody turned it, you know, because the one from the left side wasn't the problem. So they complained, and obviously we made an adjustment. That was all to it.
And there you have it, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the phone. Liam in Long Beach, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going, man? Huge fan. I think the third base position, like, it seemed like it was going to be Beatty for a while, and now obviously, Vientos is having the month of his life. you would have hoped that he could be the DH, but now that Marte is
heating
dominating,
up.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough decision going to the playoffs. Who's going to be that day-to-day DH going into postseason?
Yeah, and I don't think... Okay, so here's where I'm at with it, and this is something I thought earlier today, right? Like, you want to have your best defense out there, because, like, in the outfield specifically, because the outfield has kind of cost the Mets here recently. These diving plays, even in the beginning of this game today, I'm like, they're doing it again. Trey Turner with the triple early in that game. Tyrone Taylor diving at that. I think there was a ball that Juan Soto might have misplayed over his head, but, you know, Juan Soto's going to be your right fielder. I think there's definitely some conversation right now about maybe even having Jeff McNeil play center field. And you went and added Cedric Mullins, but, like, he's kind of platooning, and, I mean, he hasn't been great. You want to have your strongest outfield out there, but then when you get to the infield, like, Vientos has to play every day right now. He's having a ridiculous month. I think Brett Beatty has defended the position the best, but, I mean, you want to see them configure it where Brett Beatty could possibly play second base, Jeff McNeil could play center field, Vientos play third, and then if Marte is going to be hitting and contributing the way that he is, then he can DH. I'm not sure when Jesse Winker comes back, but I think it is on the table. Jose Siri, guys like that, but with the guys that you have right now, I think the best thing that they can do is keep Vientos in there. He played first base the other day, Alonso DH. He's not going to be the everyday DH, which is probably his best position. But if Marte is going and he's still here, you got to find a way. But they change the lineup every day. They change the positions every day. You just don't want to see them take Vientos out right now because of how hot he's been. You need everybody you can get in the lineup to contribute, including Marte.
Yeah, I think it's tough. You can't take out Vientos. Obviously, he performed so well last playoffs. You want him steadfast in that lineup, but I feel like you lose a lot of the Brett Beatty value when he's at second base.
His better and position is third.
And I also prefer McNeil at second, but Cedric Mullins can't get it done. I don't want him out there.
And that's where you're at. You're running out of time where it's like, okay, you know, you got Cedric Mullins 25 days ago, and you've seen a couple, 3 weeks of the guy, and it's like, depending on the matchup, you play the lefty bat, but I mean, you also have the lefty bat in McNeil. I was listening to him tonight talk about McNeil playing more center field, and maybe you're better suited with McNeil in center. Obviously, Juan Soto in right, Nimmo in left, and then you have an infield of Pete Alonso at first base, Brett Beatty at second, Lindor at short, Vientos at third, and then you can have Marte at the DH.
Are we just talking up Mauricio? I think he can definitely be a valuable player.
I just think he's young, and as we're looking at these young guys develop, this is definitely a big year on both sides of town looking at young guys develop. We're past the developmental stage. He can be a pinch hitter, but I don't think they're looking at him as an everyday player right now, no.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Liam. 888-808-1019. Not a bad problem to have, especially when guys are hitting. I don't know. I would probably run the same lineup out there tomorrow, but they're not. I don't know if they're gonna switch it up. The Mets switch up their lineup just as much as the Yankees switch up their lineup. Left-handed pitcher on the mound tomorrow as well. I would run it back, see if you can get the same results, if not better. Anyway, speaking of the Yankees, and I got Yankee fans on the fan, on the line, and I know what you guys want to talk about because I already kind of alluded to it, and I did just talk about, you know, a year of development where, you know, this year we saw Vientos, we saw Beatty, we saw Alvarez all get sent down, the baby Mets, that there was a pivot towards letting these guys play, right, not signing a Jose Iglesias so that there was room for these guys to grow and develop and become, and even, you know, a Luis Angel Acuña and a Ronnie Mauricio. And on the other side of town with the Yankees, right, Jason Dominguez is going to play left field. Shout out to the Martian, hitting a homer today. Austin Wells is our starting catcher. Started the year off as the leadoff hitter. Okay. Ben Rice, who I didn't know was going to be the primary catcher at this point. He is. You know, and Cam Schlittler. What? Like, You want to talk about one of the biggest surprises of the year? You want to talk about the Yankees' vibes deteriorating? While the Yankees' vibes have gone down, this kid has gone up. He's gotten better. It's kind of crazy. He's so dominant. And I know it's the Nationals, but I mean, I watched him throw six perfect innings last week against the Rays. It's his eighth start. In his last three starts, he's gone 17 and two-thirds innings pitched. Seven hits, one earned run, only seven walks, 22 Ks. Remember his first couple starts, his first start against Seattle? He was getting rocked. He was giving up home runs. They're not touching him now. Giving up home runs, he's barely giving up hits. And his velocity, like, he struck out James Wood at 101 miles an hour. And, like, what I like about the kid is his moxie, his command, his control, his confidence. None of this seems too big for him at all. They put him on a fast track. It's amazing to see. He goes six innings tonight. Great double play turned to get him out of there. Four hits, three walks, his career high, eight strikeouts. And I'll use that double play to segue into what people already are calling to talk about. Jazz turns, throws. Caballero, athletically, him and Jazz turn that double play to get Cam Schlittler out of that inning and end his night. Jose Caballero gets to start today.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And Anthony Volpe sits back-to-back nights. The only difference between last night and this night is that Volpe doesn't come in at all for a defensive replacement. He doesn't get to play at all. He's just in the hoodie watching the team hit multiple home runs. Ben Rice, Jazz, good for Jazz, man. Especially as he's grieving and, you know, he lost a friend and he's got three homers in 2 days. After he's got a guardian angel watching over him. Good for Jazz. But the Yankees go out there and have 12 hits. Everybody gets some. Literally, except Ahmed Rosario as a pinch hitter. And they have a laugher. And Volpe doesn't enter the game. And I know how I feel about it, but let's hear how you guys feel about it. Steve is out in Freehold on the Fan Next. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good.
So I think you know how I feel about it. I mean, I don't think Volpe could ever really should be out there anymore. I mean, we got this guy Caballero, right? We're just talking about the leadoff hitter. Is he not like a prototypical leadoff guy? I mean, I know his average is low, but he's exciting. He's fast. He's going to get on. He's going to steal bases. He's going to make things happen. Volpe, you know, he's won for his last, what, 29? And it's a laughable to me that Boone puts this guy in as a defensive replacement. He's got the most errors in the game. Like, what are we doing last night?
Yeah, and taking Stanton out last night. And
were you not holding your breath when that grounder was hit the Volpe?
I was in bed pulling the sheets over my eyes. Like, why are we, like, what? Because they did it with Devin Williams on the mound, and I'm just like, why are we tempting fate? The Yankee arrogant. you guys can't get swept. And if this is what leads them to unraveling, like, this game is not done yet. Shout out to Devin Williams, too. He doesn't want to be in low leverage. He came in for the hold. He was good. And Volpe passed the test. You know, a little pop quiz. That the ball will find you. Bregman hits the ball right to him. He attacks it, fires it. Good. But I'll say this, Steve. It's the Yankees not wanting to fully admit that they were wrong. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. And they still haven't. You know, pregame today, Aaron Boone was asked about Anthony Volpe. And he said, I view Anthony as our shortstop. Well, like, what's going on then? You know, what's going on is I think that this is a reset. Some of you look at this as a punishment. It's not a punishment. They're not punishing him for failing. They're not punishing him for struggling. They're not punishing him for leading the league in errors. They're not punishing him for striking out. They are trying to fix it. And running him out there every day, did not fix it. He had some streaks. It came and went. He hit some home runs. He had some moments, but then he came crashing back down to earth. What I think they're trying to do here, and which I know they're trying to do because they're doing it right, I was calling for this so long ago. I remember WFAN clipped the clip where I was like, how did he win the job competing against a veteran and another young guy? Iron sharpens iron. Competition brings out the best in the best. Instead of him knowing there's no other shortstop, I'm the Yankee shortstop, it's me every day going out there, put somebody in there that he can compete with. Now, they signed who'd they sign? It was like Nicky Lopez, Jaimer Candelario. Like, they signed some guys that we were like, okay, maybe. And I don't think so much. Jaimer Candelario is not a guy that could play shortstop, but Nicky Lopez is. And then the other option was Squid Games, Andrew Velasquez. Those guys were never coming up here to challenge Anthony Volpe, excuse me. And Volpe's never getting sent down. That ship has sailed. So they don't have many options. The option was, okay, at the trade deadline, let's add a shortstop. I thought that was Ahmed Rosario. No, it wasn't. They doubled down and got Caballero. They probably didn't even realize until, you know, the last day, well, the Rays are here. Hey, the Rays will send you this kid for Everson Pereira. Done. It's insurance. It was a backup plan in case Volpe did not come through. And you know what? Volpe came through right away. The next game was in Miami. He hit that home run to tie it. He kind of gave us a little bit of the showboating that we never really saw from him. But that's another thing, too. As I like wrote my notes tonight, I'm like, Volpe isn't getting benched for hot dogging or hustling, or not hustling, rather. Like, some of you were looking at it like, oh, he's benched. Not really, bro. They literally, on the game that he didn't start, nationally televised, a game you needed to win, which they did, they still put him in, and he got a piece of that. So, and that was telling me, it's just like, man, we're just out of options. You've cost us. We're trying to shield you from your own self, your own timidness, mistakes, throwing to the wrong base, throwing over the first baseman's head, but we still love you. You're still ours. And Aaron Boone this morning literally said, I still view him as the shortstop. So he's not benched. Like, he's just sitting right now. I think he could be in there tomorrow. And what they hope is that a couple days off is a good enough reset and also a challenge to go out there and play better. Step your game up. I don't mind it at all. You know why? Nobody's job should be safe. All of them should feel some type of fear that somebody's coming for their job if they don't get it done. Fear is a great motivator. What have I said about these Yankees all year? None of them fear anything. They don't fear losing their jobs. They don't fear losing games. Because when they do play like crap and lose a game, they're told it's okay. Oh, it's baseball. We had some good swings, made some good pitches, but you know, it's right in front of us. You know what I'm saying? Andrew's in Long Beach on the Fan. Next, what's up, Drew?
Hey, what's up, Keith?
You know, talking.
Obviously, Volpe's an issue on both sides of the ball, but, I mean, they can't live and die by the home run. They face good pitching. They face your Crochet or Joe Ryan, whatever, you know. They face these good pitchers. They get shut down. In the playoffs, this is who they're going to face. You know, they can't. They have to manufacture runs some way, somehow. Can't just be hitting solo homers. Whatever.
I agree with you, and I've had plenty of nights of talking about that. But I think they think they're going to get into the postseason, and they will hit homers, and that will carry them through. Look at how many guys on a team. Jazz has 25 homers on the year, his career high, and he was on the IL for a month. Ben Rice has 21 homers. Trent Grisham's also got his career high. 25 homers, this is how they're built. Belly's got over 20 homers. Stanton, when Judge starts cooking up again, they are the Bronx Bombers by design.
But, like, year after year, this is the way it goes. We get into the playoffs, we face good pitching, and then, you know, I know last year, World Series, great, I know. But year after year, this is the way it goes. This is how the season goes, and then they face good pitching, get shut down.
You know it. I know it, and I know that the bats will go cold in October. We never really worry about the pitching, you know, but this is who they are, and I don't see them changing anytime soon. I don't see them laying down. But at least we got some sack flies. Hey, back-to-back night, sack flies in there. I'll take it.
Listen, Caballero is a good player. You know, he makes things happen, too. You know, hopefully that knocks some sense into the whole offense and the team, whatever. You know, the Jazz is stealing more while this guy's here. But, you know, who knows if that changes the philosophy. I doubt, you know, it's not going to change the whole organizational philosophy.
No,
but
they're all swinging, you know, for the fences. They all want to be the hero. Yeah. You know, the night that I was last ranting about it that I remember that was clipped was against Joe Ryan, where Belly had that homer and then they had nothing else. And then the Twins were able to just tag De Los Santos and the Yankees had no answer. They couldn't come back. They couldn't find three runs. Even Friday night, I'm at the game against Max Fried. I'm like, if these guys don't homer, they're not scoring a run. They're going to lose.
And they're rolling that series. You know, they're rolling that series until they face him. They face a good pitcher.
Until they face Joe Ryan, sure. Even they made Brian Bale look like Cy Young. So it's not great, but it is what it is. These guys are built to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Thanks for the call, Drew. The only guys mixed in that are different from that, Paul Goldschmidt, who used to be a power hitter, but Paul Goldschmidt now can, you know, hit some doubles. We had a Goldie double. Good sign. A Judge with a teardrop ground rule double in there early. Get going. Judge got to get going. I've been saying there's no way to overcome Judge not being Judge. And he's still the favorite to win the MVP, so I guess they're expecting him to get back out there in right field. And once he's playing on both sides of the ball, I think you'll see a different Judge as far as his at-bats. I think I was saying yesterday, like, I would have put him on a longer IL stint. I feel like he hit the IL and came right back. And he hasn't been himself. They need him to be himself. But other than that, like I'm saying, you know, look how many guys they have on this team. The Yankees lead the league in home runs. You know, Belly is about to have his 24th home run this week or 25th home run this week. They have a lot of home run hitters. Stanton, who has missed a ton of time. You know, Stanton's going to have 20 homers, 25 homers real soon. Let me see if I can find the actual stat here. I know we got a break. We got to do a big shot next. So, yeah, I'm going to look. Let's see. Home runs. The Yankees lead Major League Baseball with, I think this is not updated. FanGraphs has them at 215. I think after tonight, if you add on Ben Rice's homer, if you add on Jazz Chisholm's homer, Dominguez homer, they're at 218. And that's a large margin. The next closest team is the Los Angeles Dodgers with 196 homers. And if I look at the box scores right now, LA is up 3-0. Have they homered yet? Yeah, Páez has a homer. So the Yankees have 218 homers to the Dodgers 297. It's a far gap.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Talk sports hands-free, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Wakanda! Welcome!
Big shot of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson. Bright lights in the big city. We had two games in New York with the Mets and Yankees, so let's pour up a double shot for the big shot of the night. First one going to Luis Torrens, who I talked about, saw that Francisco Alvarez is trying to head back and is like, hey, I want to be the guy behind the dish for a little while. I got to go out there and produce and protect my spot, and he did. From the 9 spot in the order, 3 hits tonight, 5 RBI, and a big 3-run homer, and 3-run homers win ball games. That one kind of blew it open, and he's behind the dish for Kodai Senga, Jose Castillo, Tyler Rogers, Brooks Raley, Ryan Helsley, Ryan Stanek, and they get it done. The bullpen was flawless tonight, and a great game for Luis Torrens, and the Mets absolutely needed it, this first one against the Phillies as the season winds down here. As far as the Yankees go, I kind of wanted to give a double shot there. Well, one, I'm impressed with Cam Schlittler, so I guess I'll start with him. Six innings, four hits, gives up nothing. Coming off of what he did last outing with the perfect six innings, he ties his career high, eight Ks. But I did want to give like an honorable mention slash like just like I see you, bro. I know there were two guys that drove in more runs, right? Dominguez with the homer, three ribbies, not him. Belly with, you know, the two hits, the sack fly to drive in three. But I just wanted to give a shout out to Ben Rice, who worked two walks, also had a homer, the furthest hit homer of the year for him. Threw out a runner where I'm like, hey, just in case y'all putting the word out, you can run on Ben Rice. Ben Rice shows his arm. And then obviously he was behind the dish calling another great game for Cam Schlittler. And he, you know, he broke the game up with that home run. Ben Rice is a guy that I'm just looking at as like, wow, I had no idea that we would be at this point. There were people saying that Ben Rice would not have a spot in this lineup with Stanton coming back. They were literally asking that man that question earlier in the year, right? Because Goldie would be at first, and Stanton would be at DH. Two former MVPs. Man, this kid has been so valuable for the Yankees. Catching, playing first, hitting the ball hard, moving anywhere in the lineup. I just got to give some credit to Ben Rice going out there and working with Cam Schlittler tonight. Back to the phones we go. Jerry is in Scotch Plains. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, listen. I want to wish you a happy anniversary, man. This is a big moment.
Yeah, it's very crazy. Cool. It's like I spent a lot of time reflecting today. I just was like, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was walking into this time 4 years ago. So I'm thankful.
Totally awesome. Totally awesome. I called up. I mean, it was not too far. I asked you who your favorite quarterback was, and you said Mike Vick. And I love that. It's like one of my favorite moments.
Just, but, I mean, I know he's got some bad stuff tied to him. And whenever you say Mike Vick, people think of the dog fighting in the suspension. But you asked me who my favorite quarterback was, watching him from Virginia Tech into the NFL while I was also like a running quarterback, playing quarterback growing up. Everybody wanted to be like Mike. Who knows where his career would have went if he didn't get in trouble. Mike was like, he just was a superhuman quarterback. I'd never seen a left-handed quarterback that could throw like that, run like that, and just break the game open. He was must-see TV.
He'd just flick it. He'd just flick it. Go 70 yards. But anyway, all right. So, all right. Couple questions. One is Cam Schlittler. He's amazing. I mean, did you see his warm-up? Like, he looked like he was locked in. The guy actually is a gamer. We haven't had that in a long time.
Man, I'm blanking on what song. He plays hip-hop when he warms up. He's a young dude. He's just like, and he's a dude's dude. Like, he is not afraid. He's only 24, but he's got this, like, look about him. Like, I'm better than all of these guys. These guys can't hit my stuff.
He's got the dog.
And we don't have enough dogs on this team. We have too many casual guys that are just like not pissed off and don't have that look about them.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. And the other question I had, do you see who's starting for Syracuse this week? It's this kid from New Jersey, from Westfield. He's ridiculous.
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I was just looking at Fran Brown. Thanks for the call, Jerry. I was just looking at Fran Brown talk about how he pays his son's tuition, so it frees up another scholarship for them to go and get another kid to play. And
I did see Kyle McCord today. Now we're about to start talking football. Why not? I did see Kyle McCord today is getting cut by the Eagles. I think the Eagles drafted Kyle McCord in the sixth round. And I remember looking at him as somebody that could be like a, Eagles drafted 181st overall, sixth round. He's getting cut as they just made the trade for Sam Howell to back up Jalen Hurts. But I thought Kyle McCord, just what I saw out of him at Syracuse, I thought he could be a sneaky pick. You know, even for the Jets or Giants, depending on how things went. Interested in where he's going to land. Cuts get made, and you can't carry that many quarterbacks unless you're the Giants. Now it's, you know, with the Giants, they're saying, are the Giants going to be able to carry four quarterbacks? Oh, the Browns are going to. No, they're not. No, they're not. The pride of Ocean Township, my high school, Kenny Pickett. I am so happy for Kenny and his wife and his family to go to Viva Las Vegas and get out of Cleveland and get away from the Shador Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, Deshaun Watson. Like, you know, Joe Flacco's not playing the whole year for them. Good, Kenny. Go to Vegas. You can be around Tom Brady and Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly and Ashton Jeanty and just learn from Geno Smith. And it's not a lock that Geno's going to play the whole year or that Geno's going to play well the whole year. Look at Kenny, man. Tom Pelissero writes, the only player in the last 30 seasons to be traded three times within his first four NFL seasons. Sam Howell, who hit the mark yesterday, and now Kenny Pickett. Now, let me get back to what Jeff was even talking about. What kid? I know there was a kid out of Ocean. There was a kid out of Ocean that played receiver. Kid that went to, yes, Trayvon Pena. But is he gone? I think Trayvon Pena is gone. I know somebody's listening that's a Syracuse football fan. And they're like, no, is he? I think he transferred out. And you know who's real as hell? If you're not following him or whenever he talks, Fran Brown coming out of Camden, coaching the Syracuse. Sorry, I'm just thinking of a bunch of things. I'm like, my train of thought, I'm typing, and my train of thought is on. Shout out to Fran Brown, the head coach at Syracuse. Trayvon Pena was born in the Bronx, New York, but went to Ocean Township High School, my high school, down the shore area, shore conference football. We out here. He played last year with Syracuse, and I'm looking it up now. He transferred to Penn State. He might, let's see. I don't know. I got to keep up with him. He's getting up there in age. He's 23, but he's got experience. Him and Drew Aller, who knows? Who knows? And I'm rooting for anybody from OT. Wearing that number eight, that's that. Me and Kenny wore that number eight. I think in high school, Kenny wore two and then went on to wear eight. But he's wearing that number eight at Penn State. I got to tap in with the boy. But, Jeff, I don't know who you're talking about now. Syracuse football, Ocean Township. You mean to tell me they have another Ocean Township kid? Syracuse didn't recruit me that heavy, and I wasn't going all the way out there anyway. I guess they are now. Yeah, I don't know. Now I'm searching to find who is starting. And you might be, I don't know, you might be incorrect on that because I'm not seeing anything. And it's definitely not the quarterback. Syracuse starting QB is who? Angeli? Yeah, I don't know. Let's get back to the phone. Sorry, I'm keeping people waiting as I'm, there goes Keithy. There goes Keithy down the rabbit hole. And like, I don't fall through. I go into rabbit holes that are sports related. That I know somebody understands what I'm talking about. I don't think this kid is from Ocean, but now I'm going to figure some stuff out. But we're going to get back to the phones. We're talking about the Mets. We're talking about the Yankees, right? Luis Torrens, big shot of the night. Great night for him. Also, Yankees catcher Ben Rice throwing people out, hitting home runs, catching and calling a great game. Obviously, everybody got involved tonight for the Yankees. You can throw in the Martian. You can throw in Belly. You can throw in whoever. Jose Caballero stepping up and playing shortstop. While, you know, they try and get Volpe right. And, you know, I alluded to there being two games in New York tonight. And I also alluded to almost 42,000 Mets fans showing up to Citi Field. Well, you know what? You got one over us tonight. Only 36,939 at Yankee Stadium, 41,989 at Citi Field. So Lugie's going to come in. He's going to tell you that there's something brewing in Queens and that Citi Field is the place to be and that, check the box scores, the Mets are the big brother because everybody went to Flushing tonight. Edward's out on Long Island on the Fan next. What's up, Ed?
What's up, Keith?
You know, hanging out, trying to figure out some college football stuff. As college football kicked off last weekend, but it really kicks off on Saturday, but I know we're talking baseball. What you got for us?
Yeah, so you just talked about, like, the Mets and the Yankees and the attendance. I happen to attend the U.S. Tennis Open. I've been a fan for years. I know the magic of the city is always there between the Mets, the Yankees, but, like, with the travel, right, and the number of people, you were just talking about the attendance, like, sometimes I feel like as a local, I live in Long Island, I commute to Manhattan for work, it's an hour and a half plus each way, my boss is expecting me to work tomorrow the next day. Like, when you're traveling to get in and get out, does the magic kind of lose itself in all the crowds and all of the lines? And I love it, don't get me wrong, the city is the place to be. But I just feel like it just starts to lose its muster after a while.
It can get annoying. It can get treacherous.
Yeah.
It can get way too crowded where it does kind of take the fun out of it because you're waiting mad long and you're just in general pop with a lot of people. Thanks for the call, Ed. I mean, that's, I don't know. As I get older, I do not want to be in crowds. As I get older, I do not want to be waiting in long lines. Just like when you're young, you can do that because you have this, like, you know, whimsical wanderlust of like, where are we going? What are we doing? I've done everything. I don't want to wait in line. I'm not waiting in line and just chilling in general population, general admission. Now, I understand that, but sometimes there's no way around it. You better be VIP. You better know something that other people don't know. You better know somebody that can open a side door for you, somebody that can put your name on a list. Because that, I mean, you're in the most populated area, period. You're in the city, bro. You know, going to Citi Field. Look at how many, and I don't know how many people went to the U.S. Open. And I know what's going on tonight, and I wish I knew more about it, but I can share my quick little story about the one time that I went. Obviously, it's right there at, Willits Point? When you take the 7 line to go to Citi Field, it's just the other direction. And it's mobbed. And there are two different crowds. You'll see some celebrities when you go to the U.S. Open. You'll see some ridiculous prices for cocktails. What is it, the mint julep? The one year I went, I had no idea what I was walking into. I never have any idea. That's how I guess I've lived my entire life. I just walk into things. I had no idea what I was walking into at WFAN. I had no idea what I was walking into at Fubo TV when they said, yeah, we got a ticket for the U.S. Open for you tonight. I forget what the company that... BNTV. BN Sports. Sports television network and streaming service that provides extensive live coverage of soccer leagues and tournaments from all around the world, including La Liga, Serie A, League One, Syria. And
Serie A.
Well,
it's Italian.
Us Americans, we're going to read that as Serie A, League One, and the UEFA Champions League. So when I worked at Fubo TV, the most I ever learned about soccer, I got invited to a suite for the U.S. Open, and that was the only time that I got to go, and it was sick. Like, especially if you go with a suite, because there's a different entrance, and there's a different way, and it's like you go up, and it's so nice, and the drinks are on the suite, and the food is on the suite, and then you're like in this above area over the courts. It's nice. It's nice. But that's the only time I
go
every
year. It's amazing.
U.S. Open?
Yeah.
And you just go, what? So you just buy like a general admission ticket and there's multiple courts that you can walk around to go see in there, right?
Yeah, so it depends. You can get a grounds pass where you can go to basically every court except for Arthur Ashe, which is the biggest one.
Right.
But you don't have an assigned seat. You can just sit anywhere you want. Like today, but today I got a Louis Armstrong ticket with my dad and we have an
assigned.
What?
You went to the U.S. Open today?
Yeah, I went, like,
perfect timing. We've got Alex producing the show that could really actually speak to it. Go on.
Yeah, and basically I got a ticket like assigned for Louis Armstrong, which is the second biggest court.
What's security like in there? I've only been there once, so I don't even really recall.
I'm going to be honest. It's gotten worse over the years because
they have to tighten up worse? Like they're really strict?
No, like it used to be more strict.
Oh, okay.
Like what happens is during service breaks is the only time you can walk around to try and find your seat. And then while the game's playing, you're not allowed into the stadium. But now everyone's just like walking during points.
Yeah, I got to try and get back, but I want to go VIP. I want to go to the suite. 888-808-1019. And it is something cool, though. There's a buzz going around in New York. I was at Yankee Stadium on, was it Thursday or Friday? And Novak Djokovic was there.
Yeah, Djokovic, yeah. He threw out the first pitch, right?
Yes. And
the GOAT.
I guess he is the GOAT. I didn't really care. People were having him sign baseballs. I'm like, why would you have him sign a baseball? They're like, bro, you don't understand. I'm like, no, I don't understand. I'm not beat to even, like, you know, try and, like let the guy walk around. Let the guy use the bathroom. Let the guy eat in here. You know, like, I don't know.
He's probably a bigger superstar in Serbia than Jokic is right now.
That is crazy to me if you say he's bigger than Nikola Jokic. But yeah, there's a buzz. I was surprised there wasn't more like tennis people at Yankee Stadium this weekend, but they're in town, they're around. It's something that goes on every year. It brings a huge crowd, a lot of different people. And then yeah, you have that going on tonight. You have the Mets at Citi Field playing the Phillies tonight. And there were a good amount of Phillies fans in there from what I could see from the clips and TV. And then obviously the Yankees have a home series where it was Hamilton night tonight. And they're giving out a Hamilton hat. So, you know, a good draw over there as well. Gary's in Floral Park before we get to our next break. Gary, you're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call in. I heard a caller saying about, you know, traveling in and traffic and all that stuff and crowds. I went to the Yankee game tonight, and I live on the border of Queens and Nassau County, and it was such a pleasurable, I can't believe I'm going to say this, a pleasurable ride riding through over the Throgs Neck Bridge. There's a little bottleneck on the Throgs Neck Bridge, but the Bruckner Expressway to the Major Deegan, no problems. Everybody was very civilized on the roads today.
Rare.
Very rare. And it was so enjoyable. I got there from the Queens Nassau border in 40 minutes. Coming home, it took like 30 minutes.
Oh, you
and,
cruised.
And I stayed it was great to the end of the game. I did not speed, but it was just such a pleasurable trip. And, you know, you think like, oh, I got to go to Yankee Stadium. And, you know, it's like,
and it's you got to fight. And you got to sit in the car and you're going to get trapped and gridlocked.
Yeah, and the you know the restrooms there was no no crowds in the restroom. Now I understand they're playing the Nationals, but still it was an enjoyable game. We got to see a bunch of home runs, a bunch of runs scoring, some decent pitching until the ninth, you know it was an enjoyable game. You know,
good.
The crowd wasn't very noisy.
Skip the premium series, the expensive Red Sox series over the weekend with all the negative vibes, and just go Monday on a night like that, Gary. Good job. Good for you.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.